Ezekiel chapter 34. And our text for today, and indeed our motto text for this year, is the verse 26. Ezekiel 34 and verse 26. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. In this 34th chapter of Ezekiel, the Lord condemns those who were supposed to be the shepherds of the Lord's people. He charged them with being selfish and sinful and behaving in a shameful way towards the flock of God. They behaved like the hirelings that the Savior himself spoke about when he said, "The hireling fleeth." That is, when danger arises, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep, John 10, verse 13. These shepherds behaved as hirelings because they cared not for the sheep of the Lord. If you look there in verse 4, of Ezekiel 34, speaking about these false shepherds. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high rock. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Words of condemnation coming from the Lord regarding those so-called shepherds that were supposed to be caring for the Lord's sheep. But the Lord reserves his harshest criticism of those so-called shepherds that did not feed the flock, did not feed the sheep. Look at verse 2. Verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Verse 3, Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. You go down to verse 8. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not the flock. Here we have the Lord's words of condemnation. The Lord then said that he would be a shepherd unto his flock and ensure that they would be fed. Verses 13 and 14. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them. I'll feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. Verse 14. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in the good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountain of Israel. I will feed my flock. So the Lord has promised that he will feed his people. That's what shepherds are supposed to do. Indeed, above all else, in their care of their sheep, they are to make sure the sheep are fed. We have studied the Psalm 23, when the Lord said that he would lead his flock beside still waters. He will lead them to those green pastures. That's the duty, the responsibility of a shepherd. And of course, the reference here, when we're speaking about shepherds, are to ministers. The ministers are to preach the word. Ministers are to feed their flock. Ministers are to declare the truth. If they don't feed their flock, if they don't preach the word to them, the Lord, as we see here, will condemn them. And as we can see from this chapter, the God of truth condemns those false, neglectful shepherds. For we read in verse 10, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. The Lord said he would deal with those shepherds, those hirelings that showed no love or care for the sheep. Rather, they cared more for themselves. They fed themselves, they clothed themselves, but they fed not the sheep. There are many today who do not feed the flock. But the sad thing is that what we read in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 31 is true of the people who sit under those men. Because we read in verse 31 of Jeremiah 5, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Unfortunately, there are those, and they sit listening to false shepherds who give them no food for their soul, who do not deal with the matter of sin, who do not rebuke sin. And as Jeremiah said, my people love to have it so. They're happy just to sit there and listen to a man who gives them no food for their soul. The Lord then goes on to inform his people that he will feed them, he will bless them. Speaking prophetically here, of course, of the Jewish nation. Nevertheless, these words can be applied to us today. Blessing is something we pray for on a regular basis. It's a word we often use in our prayer meetings. We often say, Lord, come and bless us, bless me, bless my family, bless my home, bless my church. And here in our text, the Lord speaks about blessing and blessing his flock or blessing his people. Because here in Ezekiel, and there in verse 26 of chapter 34, the Lord says, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. I will make them a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. As we look at this text of Scripture, I want us first of all to notice the source of the blessing. The Lord here promises to bless his people and to make them a blessing. And he says, I will, there's the source. I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. So there is the source. Just as the Lord said that he would make Abraham a blessing and that he would make Abraham a blessing to others. In Genesis chapter 12, we read there in the opening verses, Genesis 12. Now the Lord, verse 1, had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So here the Lord says that he will bless Abraham, and he will make him a blessing to others. Isn't that what we want? Would we want the Lord to bless us and make us a blessing to others? That's what he has promised in this verse. Here we have, first of all, the Lord's will. The Lord's will. After the Lord said that he would be a shepherd to his flock, he repeatedly revealed what he would do for them. Indeed, if you were to take time and read verses 10 through to verse 29, you will find the I wills of God. And you will find also that there are 25 I wills of God. And so 25 times over in these few verses, the Lord says, I will. He speaks about what he will do for his people. And here in our text, he says, I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. I will do it. The object of God in choosing us as his people, before all creation, before the foundation of the world, was not only to save us and make us his people, but to make us a blessing to others in the world. To make us a blessing to others. That's the will of God. That's what the will of the Lord is. That we as believers should be a blessing to others in this world. Remember he said, the Lord said in Matthew 5 and verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. There is the Christian's influence in the world. There is the Christian blessing in the world and to the world. Ye are the light of the world. And didn't the Lord go on to say, let your light so shine that you might be a blessing to others. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let the Lord make us like a little leaven. For we know what happens with a little leaven. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It influences all that is around it. And so we as God's people are to be a blessed influence in the lives of others. I will make you a blessing. I will make you a blessing to others. That's what we want to be. As well as the Lord's will, we have the Lord's work. Because the Lord here says, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. I will make them a blessing. Does that not infer work? Does that not speak to us of the Lord's working in the life of his people? We will not be a blessing to anyone if the Lord by his grace has not done a work in us to make us a blessing. The Lord is the maker. Remember what the Lord said to when he called his first disciples by the Sea of Galilee? He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So the disciples would never become fishers of men. They would never become soul winners except the Lord made them soul winners. Instead, except the Lord did a work in their lives. The Lord had to do a work in them. He had to make them fishers of men, just as the Lord has to make us a blessing to others. That's his work. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work, perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That work of sanctification, making us more like Christ, will continue and will in turn make us a blessing to others. And the more Christ-like we are, then the more of a blessing we will be to other people. So God says, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. I will make them a blessing. Let us make that then our prayer. Lord, make me more of a blessing to those round about me. to those I come in contact with. Make me a blessing. May I be a blessing to them. As well as the Lord's will and the Lord's work, we have the Lord's way. For the Lord here declares, I will make them and the places round about a blessing. Notice the Lord said, I will make them. There you have the people. I will make them. He's been speaking about his flock. So here, he is referring to making his people, his flock, a blessing. Have we not been in the presence of some Christian? And after a time of fellowship with them, we have acknowledged that person was a real blessing to me. That person's company and their conduct and their conversation bless my soul. Have you ever been in the presence of someone like that? Some Christian individual, and just being with them has been a blessing to you. That's what the Lord's talking about. I will make them a blessing. I will make them such a blessing that others will be blessed through being in their company. They'll be blessed by listening to their conversation. They'll be blessed by their conduct. Let us pray to that end. Lord, make me a blessing. Do that work in me by thy grace, that I might be more of a blessing to others when I am in their company or they are in my company. Just as Paul said to the saints in the church at Philippi, thanking the Lord, Paul said, I thank the Lord for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He thanked the Lord for them. They were a blessing to him. For your fellowship. Their fellowship, or his fellowship with the believers at Philippi, was a blessing to him. That's what he's saying. Thank the Lord for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul enjoyed and was blessed being in the company of God's people there in the church of Philippi. He enjoyed the fellowship with them. So let us pray that we will be a blessing in this church to others. Yes, we want to be blessed in the church, but we want to be a blessing to the church. How may we be a blessing? What about a warm and welcoming handshake for visitors whenever they come? A word of encouragement for the afflicted. A willingness to help wherever possible. That's how we may be a blessing, as the church at Philippi was a blessing to Paul. May we be a blessing to others. He mentions the people. I will make them a blessing. And then he mentions the place. I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. The Lord said, I will make them and the places round about. The reference here to my hill would refer to Jerusalem or the temple. and Zion, called my holy hill of Zion in Psalm 2, verse 6. So the Lord states that he will make his people a blessing and the places round about. Isn't that what we want? We want this place, this temple, if you like, this witness to be a blessing round about. Why would the Lord plant a church in a village, in a town, in a city, or even somewhere in the country, if it was not going to be a blessing to those round about? So let us pray that this witness, this church, here in the Toronto Road in Port Hope, will be a blessing to this town. Yea, may the Lord make it a blessing to the places round about. Paul spoke about the blessed influence of the saints in the church in the city of Rome. Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. In other words, your faith is spoken of round about. People know about your witness and your work. That's what we want to be here. The places round about, that our church, this witness here, will be a blessing to those round about. That people will be able to come here and hear the gospel and be saved. Come and hear the word and be encouraged. Come and hear the truth and be lifted up. We want it to be a blessing. That's what the Lord has promised. We have not only the source of the blessing, but we also have here the showers of blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Here's a word that we can take to heart. Here is a word that we can pray about, a word we can pray over. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Here we see, first of all, the provision. The Lord said, I will cause the shower to come down. The Lord will provide the showers. He is the provider. I will cause the shower to come down. Only the Lord God of heaven is able to provide the rain. Only the Lord God of heaven is able to give the rain to water the land. Turn to the book of Job. And there in Job, in chapter 38. In Job 38, we read there in the verse 25. Job 38, verse 25. Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth, where no man is, on the wilderness, wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of the heaven? Who hath gendered it? And the Lord is saying to Job, this is what I have done. No one else. No one else is able to do it. I, the Lord. In Psalm 65, again, the Lord emphasizes that he is the provider. He is the giver of the rain. Psalm 65, and there we read in verse 9, Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou hast done it. David acknowledges the goodness of God in giving the showers upon a dry and thirsty land. Sometimes, you know, we complain about too much rain. Maybe we say, oh, it's raining today again. I remember preaching in a country church in Ohio many years ago. It was a midweek meeting. And the minister, or the pastor, was calling for special to pray for rain. The church, of course, was made up primarily of farmers. They had gone through a dry spell, and the land was drying up, and their crops were drying up, and they needed rain. And so they asked for special seasons of prayer, to ask the Lord to send down the rain. That's where it comes from. The Lord will send the rain. Indeed, we can see from our text that it is only because of the mercy and the grace of God that we receive showers. For the Lord said, I will cause the showers to come down. The word cause there means to give. And so we've been dealing with the natural rain. But what we need is the spiritual rain. And we will only know that spiritual rain by the grace of God. If we are to know the showers of blessing, spiritual blessing, we will only know those showers of blessing from the hand of the Lord. As we say, the word cause means to give. And it is only by the grace of God that he will give us showers of blessing. I will cause shower to come down. That means the Lord has the power to do so. In Jeremiah, we read in chapter 14, and there in verse 22, are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God. Therefore, we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Therefore, we will wait upon thee for all these things. What things? The showers of blessing. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain, or can the heavens give showers? No. The Lord is who gives the showers. You recall, after over 3 years of no rain, Elijah sought the face of God for rain. The false prophets of Baal went to their gods, and they pleaded with their gods, but their gods did not answer. There was no answer from heaven. Therefore, we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all things. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. How are we to know showers of blessing? Well, we need to ask. Zechariah 10 and verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. So we want to know rain, we want to know showers of blessing. Well, here we are told, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So we want to know showers of blessing in 2015. We need to ask. That's what we're being instructed to do. We're being instructed to ask for the showers of blessing. Elijah waited. Elijah asked. Then he said, there is the sound of abundance of rain. Elijah asked. And he asked again. His servant went 8 times at all. And Elijah kept asking until the cloud like a man's hand appeared. That's when Elijah said, there is a sound of abundance of rain. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And what a blessing that was to Israel. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting. O revive the hearts of all. There is the provision. There is also the period. The Lord says, I will cause the shower to come down in his season. We sang this morning, and the hymn writer got it right when he penned the words, there shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons. Refreshing sent from the Savior above. Seasons. I will cause the shower to come down in his season. You see, the church may not always be in blessing, There will be barren times. Just as in the natural world, there are those times when we may go weeks with no rain. And it is a welcoming sight after protected time with no rain. And suddenly the heavens open and the whole earth is refreshed by the rain. So it is with the work of God. There are those times that we go through when there's not much blessing. When no visitors come to the services, when no souls are saved, when the heavens seem as brass, times when the Lord has shut up heaven that there be no rain, that's when we must come. That's when we must look to the heavens in prayer. And quoting once more Zechariah 10 verse 1, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. That's what we need to see. The Lord will want to give us showers of blessing. Over in Leviticus, and in Leviticus chapter 26, Leviticus 26, there we read in verse 2, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her or their fruit. In other words, if you live an upright and righteous life, if you obey the Lord, keep his word, observe his Sabbath days, walk in his statutes and keep his commandments, the Lord says, then will I give you rain. And so we see we can know blessing, we can know the showers of blessing if we ask. And we can know the showers of blessing if we live a holy life. That's what we are told. Living a life that is in obedience to the word of God. Acts 3 verse 19. The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The times, or the word times mean seasons. The times of the seasons of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord when we ask. And when we live a holy life, we have had a long enough period of drought and dryness. Oh, for the showers of blessing. Will we ask? Will we give ourselves to asking for the showers of blessing? As well as the provision and the period, there is a promise. Here the Lord makes a bold and blessed promise. There shall be showers of blessing. Will we take that promise to heart? There shall be Lord didn't say there may be, or there's a possibility there will be. The Lord said there shall be showers of blessing. It is interesting that this gracious promise comes after reference to Christ being the shepherd of the flock. Verses 23 and 24 that we've already noted. And that tells us that all blessing will come to us through Christ. This teaches us that all blessings comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those showers of blessing will come to us through Christ. Times of refreshing will come to us through Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's what we want, isn't it? We want the heavenly blessing to come down. And it will only come down and be poured out upon us through the Lord Jesus. If we ask. So when God declares there shall be showers of blessing, he will send them upon us through Christ. The Lord has given us this promise for 2018. Let us then claim the promise. For as Paul says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises in him, in Christ, are in him, yea, and amen. So we have seen in these words the source of blessing, the showers of blessing. That leads us in the last place to the signs of blessing. What are the signs of the blessing? Well, we know that whenever showers come down after a long, dry period of time, we see the signs immediately. The grass is greener. There's a freshness in the air. And flowers sprout up that we didn't even know were there. As the Bible speaks about the desert will blossom as the rose. We've seen those pictures and maybe videos. We've seen the desert place and it's dry and barren. And then when the rains come down, it's almost overnight. The grass springs up. The flowers are in bloom. The desert blossoms as the rose. And it is the same spiritually. When we have those spiritual showers, there'll be the signs. We will see the difference. There will be the increase. Look at the next verse. Our text is verse 26. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in a season. There shall be showers of blessing, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. There's the signs. There will be increase. When the Lord sends showers of blessing, just as in the natural world, there will be increase. When the Lord gives us spiritual showers of blessing, we'll see increase here. Here on the Lord's day. here on a Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, there'll be an increase. When the showers of blessing fall. What we need, of course, are the showers of blessing, that we might experience those times of fruitfulness and increase. But let us remember it again. The words of Zechariah, we're to ask. Ask the Lord God for rain. Ask the Lord God for the showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. And we'll see a difference. There'll be a difference in our own, in our own souls, in our own lives, when we have showers of blessing. May the Lord make us as a people, for he has promised to make us a blessing to others. May the Lord make us like that tree that we read about in Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's increase. Oh, for the showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Let us take these words to heart. I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. O loving God and gracious Father, have us to take these words to heart. Have us, Lord, not to look upon them and admire these words. But, O Lord, have us to claim these words, this promise, to stand upon the promises of God. Lord, send to this town, to this church, showers of blessing. That we might see a fruitfulness, that we might see an increase to the glory of thy holy name. Lord, be with us today. Remember, Bill, we don't know, Lord, exactly what is the problem. But Lord, remember Bill Cairns at this point in time. And have him even now to call upon thee for salvation. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.